We are not going to a sober sermon today, very sober. And the time of breaking of bread is always supposed to be a sober time, where you think deep of what the Lord has done for you. And then you fear before Him, and you humble yourself. We're going to sing that song one more time. And I want you to lift up your voice unto the Lord and listen to that voice and listen to the word.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
Teach us your word, Lord. Teach us to fear thee. Say, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Teach us to fear thee, O Lord, and to tremble at your word, so that we will walk humbly before thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. That last song said, to you alone may my spirit yield. The message that the Lord put upon my heart, I have so many several messages for the past throughout the week, and saying, Lord, what do you want for me to talk to your people? And different topics come to my mind, different topics. Okay, so I prepared a topic, and that topic came, so okay, I prepared a topic, and this morning, the Lord bring this topic. And I want you to pay close attention to this. We don't know what force is moving us sometimes. We don't know what force is moving us sometimes. That is what this message you put in your heart. Sometimes we don't know what force is moving us. What I mean by that? I will give you some few stories in the scriptures. And I want to consider those stories carefully. These are stories of men of God. Men of God. And they did something and they didn't know what force moved them. They didn't know what force moved them. And God was there. And that is why the Lord put this, it make me to fear God. And I want you to have the same thing, that fear God, ye saints. And in this walk with God that we are walking, tread carefully with humility. Tread carefully with humility, even when you are walking with Almighty God. Amen. Because sometimes we don't know what force is moving us. I will give you the first story, is the story of David. We all know the story of David, King David, how he was so close to God. Was it not so? He was very close to God, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, let's read the 2 Samuel chapter 24. I think we don't know sometimes what force is moving us. And that is to make us to fear before God. Chapter 24 of 2 Samuel, and we see in verse 1. They say, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Listen to that Bible as God moved David to go again to number Israel. Did God move David? Was it God that moved David? But the writer of this book said, God moved David. Now, I'm going to go through the whole story, but we have enough time. So David said, I wanted the census of the country. That was numbering Israel. And there was a rule, according to the law of Moses, they were not to number, not to conduct census until they had done some things. Peace offering before God. But somehow God moved David, according to this rendering, to go do this census. And in fact, the Bible in verse 3 said, Joab, the captain of the army, said, now the Lord thy God add unto the people, how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my Lord the king may see. But why not my Lord the king delight in this thing? In short, all his counselors were opposing this idea. But because the Bible says something was moving David, he won the debate. So they went and numbered Israel. And now look at verse 10. After they numbered Israel, they went and did the census. And they brought the tally to king. And the Bible said in verse 10, and David's heart smote him. After that he had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly. In that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away my iniquity of the servant, for I have done very foolish. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. So God came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or will thou be without flee 3 months before thy enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days of pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. So which means there was punishment to be dished against the land because of what David did. Isn't it? Didn't you say God moved David? Let us fear before God. That's what I'm going to say. Let us fear before God. Because humility is what is going to end up, we're going to summarize it in a moment. Now, this was reported here, and let me just read the same story in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. The writer of Chronicles put it in another flavor. He said it was Satan that moved David. So we can say, well, that looks a little bit palatable for we that always speak for God. In verse 1 of chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And the same story, the captain said, why do you want to do this? And he won the battle, the same story, and in the end, the punishment that we just read came. Pestilence for the land. That was the first story. It's to say, fear God, we people of God. Fear before him. What did David do? I don't know. Maybe Israel did something that they have to be punished. I don't know. But the Bible says, fear the Lord, he is saints. Now, the second story is going to be from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This is the story of another great king. He's a man of God that it was reported they served God, they followed God, and they moved when God told them to move. But something come upon them or came upon them at some point, and we don't know what force is moving us. And the reason why this is very important is you may feel like saying something and may even rouse up in you like an anointing. Do you know what force is moving you? Do you know what force is moving you when you are saying that? And that is why we need to tremble and walk humbly before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Now this is the story of Uzziah, the king Uzziah. According to this story, in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And in verse 4 says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So you know, he was not a wicked king, according to all that his father Amaziah did. So he was reputed to have done great things in the name of the Lord, and God was blessing him. However, by verse 16, something was reported about Uzziah, which means people that move close to God and are so close to God that you can say they are the right hand man of God, they better tread carefully. Tread carefully. Otherwise, pride. You know Satan? What the Bible says about Satan? He said he covered the throne of God. He said he came that covering. But see, pride rose up. And then he was cast out. And that is why we have to be humble before God when we are very close to Him. So Uzziah did something in verse 16. After he had done these three great things in the name of the Lord, as a great king that was close to God, performing miracles and wonders in the name of the Lord, what I mean, miracle means war. He won many battles, and the country was established in his hand. As a man that was after God's heart, like David is the king, long for a great grandfather. Now in verse 16 he said, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now, these are recorded by these writers. They said he transgressed against the Lord his God. What did he do? And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. But what came upon him that he wanted to do that? I say, we sometimes don't know what force is moving us. Sometimes we don't know what force is moving us. Some woman can rise up and begin to be so arrogant and talk against your husband. And you may even think you are right. You don't know what force is moving you sometimes. That's why I want to fear before God. Tread carefully in this race. That's what I said, just by the way. Now, Uzziah, according to this story, was so close to God, God loved him, he loved God, and he was a king that everybody said he was doing everything right in the sight of God. Maybe something came upon him, say, I should be able to do this also. I should be able to offer incense in this temple. For all that, we don't understand, but in that direction, the office of the priest is separate. The office of the king is separate. And only those that were consecrated as the sons of Aaron should be offering incense. Somebody said, oh, no, David did something. David was so close to God. He went to the temple of God. Yeah, mercy. That's what we still have to fear before God. Because God is suffering. He asked you, I said, are we have mercy upon whom we have mercy? And are we have compassion upon whom we have compassion? Who am I to say, well, you did for David, why not me? Fear before the Lord, tremble before Him. For this Uzziah, somehow, who knows? You remember David did something, perhaps who knows? And he said he could do that also. So he went to the temple of God to offer incense. And then, verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of your sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. Now you have to remember, this king, I'm sure he didn't come there all by himself. He could have come with some of the servants. Say, well, I can do this to everybody, and they could have followed him. I'm just thinking loud. He could have gone with some of his servants. But the priests, the high priest and 80 priests, other priests who come and confront him in the temple, there could have been a rift between the priesthood and the kingship. It could have been. But now this is what happened. This same God that we say he was so close to. This same God that we say he loved God, God loved him, he has done all this way until this day. Fear before him all ever and all ye earth. The Bible said in verse 19, this is what was his error. Uzziah was wrath. When they confronted him in the temple, he said, Uzziah was wrath, verse 19, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Now, why was he wrath? Think about it. Why do you think he was angry from when they confronted him? In short, he was disagreeing. That's what it meant. When somebody say, hey, this you shouldn't be doing this, you are not authorized to do this, and he disagreed, that's what it means, he was wrong. You know what the scripture says in another place? It said, remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set up. That was an ancient landmark that God has sustained. This is for the priests. This is for the king. You don't go and do this. But he disagreed. Why? He was so close to God. He think, I can do this also. That was why he was wrong. But he said, even though he did this thing, if he was doing it as an honest mistake, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, and just walk away and let them do their thing, there will be no punishment. But because he was wrath, means he disagreed with the ancient landmark God has set up. The Bible says, while he was wrong with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And the priest looked at his face and saw leprosy forming upon his forehead. And he himself found that he has been smitten. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. The same God that we said he was so close to. The same God that we said he was so close to. And which made me to want to fear and tread carefully with the Almighty God.
Yeah.
Tread carefully when we are dealing with the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Another story is the story of Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Josiah was like great grandson of Uzziah, and he became king also, and he followed God, and he was so close to God, and he brought forth revival to the land. I say sometimes we don't know what force is moving us, and that is the topic of this, and so we should fear before him every time. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, the story of Josiah was similar to that of his great grandfather, 2 Uzziah. In chapter 34, verse 1 and 2, maybe verse 1 to 3. So Josiah was 80 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And you can read the rest of the chapter, up to chapter 35, was just talking about the great things that Josiah did for the name of the Lord. Somebody can say, well, that is a great man of God. He couldn't do anything wrong. But he did something wrong. And that's why I say we don't know what force is moving on. When we are so close to God, in fact, there was a saying that said, those that have gone to the highest height, they are in danger of falling. When you are going to the highest height with the Lord, you are in danger of falling. And that's why I give an example of that Satan called the cherub that covered it. And you can go back and look at that story of Satan and say, the Bible said, thou hast supposed in your heart, something came to the heart of Satan. And he started thinking that he wanted to do this, he wanted to do that. I said, well, wait a minute, who put that thought in his heart? That he wanted to execute it. Because we can excuse ourselves and say, when an idea came to you, maybe something else brought it. Whether you did the bad idea, it's your fault. Whether you resisted the bad idea, it's you that is doing it. But it's coming from the outside. But now the question is, who put that bad idea into the mind of Satan? That said, I will ascend to the above the throne of God. He failed because God can put the idea and see how you reacted to it. And if you react, that's one of the things that keep coming to my mind. Do you know that what I mentioned, do not remove the ancient landmark that your fathers set. Go and see spirits that have moved upon the nations of the world right now. The woman, the Egyptian spirit, is a spirit. But it's from the pit of hell. I said, but I think they seem to be fighting for me to be right here. But see, you do not know what force is moving you. Because if you begin to look at it, it's striving and quarreling in the household. Striving and quarreling in the household. You do not know what force is moving you sometimes. The story of Josiah, let's go back to that story. They say he was great, he did something great, and in verse chapter 35 is where something went wrong. Chapter 35 from verse 20. You can read chapter 34 throughout chapter 35. What Josiah did, call for revival, destroy idols from the temple, and people turn back to God. Much more than what we know about David, King David. But what happened in verse 20 of chapter 35? The writer said, after all this, and after all those great exploits that Josiah has done, when Josiah had prepared the temple, they said a king called Necho, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. That's another country somewhere there. And Josiah went out against him. But Pharaoh sent ambassadors to him, saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have walked. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now, the summary of the story was, Pharaoh was going over there, and Josiah felt, I'm so close to God, if I can knock off Pharaoh, I would be great. That would be a pride. If I could knock off Pharaoh, I would be a great king. Everybody know me in the land. Somehow, something came upon him. You don't know what force is moving you sometimes. And that is all this story about. What force is moving these people? And this force and the God spirits are still around. And we need to tread carefully before God. If we are humble before God, we avoid all these dangers. Somehow, the king of Egypt sent ambassadors and said, I have not come against you. Why are you coming to interrupt, to stand in my way? I'm going over there to fight the battle. And Josiah heard that king of Pharaoh was saying, God told me to go and fight this man, and you are standing in my way. Why? Don't let God destroy you. Now, people said, I don't believe he has God. And sometimes I've had many of my brethren opposing ministers that they think is doing wonders. That they, well, that's not of God. So, as you know, that ministry that is doing wonders, I don't think they are born again. Just leave them alone. That's what I told them sometime. I told them, leave them alone. Because look at what Pharaoh said. When they said, Pharaoh, we don't know whether Pharaoh in those days was worshiping God. No, they didn't worship God. But he said, God told him to go and fight the battle. Don't come and intermeddle. And Josiah did not. Look at what the Bible said. Let's read it again. Verse 22. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God. I didn't write this book. The writer said this was coming from Necho, from the mouth of God. So they acknowledged that it was God that spoke, told this man to go back. Josiah did not believe it. So you may not believe that man is of God. Who are you to judge the man? That's why you have to fear before God. The Lord has shown this in a way to me many times, where he will send a spirit to go and do something. Like a prayer or like a something. And we don't know, and we go and begin to pray and deliver these people, and we don't know past. This is one thing that came many times. Let me give this testimony. When Pastor Nifidi was still alive, it's a testimony. When Pastor Nifidi was still alive, I had a vision. During the time he was getting sick, I had a vision where I was in front of that auditorium with Pastor Frisbee in the vision. And the chariot came down, almost like a, what you call an elevator, just came down in front of the capstone. And Pastor said, wow, the chariot has come for me. And he went and got a dress. He said, let's get a dress. So I went with him. And as we were coming back from the outside of the third church to go, he was in front of me in that vision, to go into that chariot, like an elevator, more like an elevator descending. And then he went inside, the angel that was inside closed the door. I was thinking I was going to go with him. The angel closed the door. Then somehow we could see there is like a glass, we could see them. Somehow he realized that no, that was not the right chariot. So he started wrestling with the angel and letting out. And the angel refused. And then I stood in the outside and looked and said, "Let him out! Open the door!" And then many people gathered together. "Open the door, let him out!" So like I was struggling with this angel inside that chariot, inside that elite. And the angel said, "I have my orders." That was the reply from that angel to we that are outside. Because according to the word of God, this angel should obey us, not so. But he said, "I have my orders." Then I heard a voice from the sky. So I thought, "Practice it. The Lord wants to talk to you from the sky." I said that. So he looked up and the Lord spoke to him. "But didn't you say I should send the shadow when your ministry is done?" So he just stopped wrestling with the angel and the chariot disappeared. And I gave that testimony when we were praying for him not to die, not to die, not to die. So I've seen that almost 2 years before he passed away. So why would I give that testimony? Say, we do not know what force is moving us sometimes. We do not know. Say, why I think that is this. That angel said, "I have my orders from heaven." But you see, that is not rapture, that was death. But it was still. Say, he has orders from heaven. So that is why I say, sometimes we may stand against an angel. Like this man said, "God told me to go to this place." And Josiah said, "I don't believe it." And look at what happened to Josiah. And the archers, verse 23, the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servant, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." So his servant therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried. And verse 25 is what amazes me. And say, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. I said, you mean Jeremiah was in town in those days when this happened? You know the book of Jeremiah? How come he didn't ask counsel? And another story comes to mind. Remember the story of Joshua? Joshua chapter 9. From verse 3, he said he did not ask counsel from God. King David would have asked, "Should I go, should I not go?" But he did not ask counsel, and the Bible said, he told him not to. God told the king to tell him, and he said, "That must be your God, not my God." So let's fear before God. Tremble at this word. In the story of Joshua, we remember the Gibeonites came and deceived the whole nation. And I said, "Oh my God, where were you, God, when this was happening?" So we do not know what force is moving us sometimes. So we have to just walk carefully with Almighty God. You can read that chapter, Joshua chapter 9, from verse 3 to verse 14. You see how Joshua and Israelites welcomed these strangers who came and deceived them and said, "We were from afar off." And I said, "Oh, how come they were able to deceive the whole nation?" And they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. But it could be the Lord orchestrated it. That's why I say sometimes we don't know what forces will mean. In all these stories that I'm bringing out, is to make us to remember what Micah said. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read that. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He said, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do it justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly with thy God. Even we that are ministers, preachers, believers, walk humbly with your God. Very important. In Psalm 106, the story of Moses was reported. And all of us know, see, Moses was humble. Yeah, he was humble. But he was the weakest man on earth. Moses. But what the Bible says, you see why this thing is, why we need to be humble, much more humble, is because we are vessels of clay. And even God put these powers in these hardened vessels. Our flesh can react with all those things that we are hearing and we want to do for God. And that is an example we see in the story of Moses. The meekest man, he was told, he was said he was the meekest man on earth, and yet they provoked him. 106 verse 32. Psalm 106 verse 32. As King David reported the story. But that the waters of Meribah, that he was provoked. The meekest man in the world was provoked. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went he with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. We know the whole story. He spoke something he should have said to the people. And God said, because you did not believe me, you are not going in. That was his own punishment. I say, sometimes we do not know what force is moving us. With all the great things God did through Moses, and yet he was able to be provoked, which means he got angry. So we have a long way to go. If Moses got angry to the point that he couldn't go in because he spoke unadvisedly, how much more we that are still far off? We need to tread carefully with our God to be able to temper all those things that can rouse up in us. Because sometimes we don't know what causes with us. We're going to go into prayer. That's how we're going to work. We're going to go into prayer for ourselves. Let's stand up and pray. This is the end of the message. Let's stand up and pray for ourselves. I said sometimes we don't know what force is moving us, and so we need to be humble before our God. Talk to the Father. This is not to be afraid of God, but to fear Him. Afraid is one thing. Fearing God means you are going to walk humbly before Him. Then talk to the Father and say, Lord, I am nothing. Lord, that is what needs to be humble. Tell the Lord you are nothing without. Christ already said, He said, without me you can do nothing. But many times we go about thinking, well, I am so close to God, I dare you to use your kiss. No, humble yourself before the Almighty God. Because He dwelleth with those who are lowly and contrite in heart. Pray to Him, talk to Him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray with the Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves before the Lord our Father. Help us not come to tremble at thy word. To humble ourselves before Him. Not to think we know everything. Not to even behave as if we know anything at all. Because he that thinketh he knoweth, he said, let him be informed a fool that he may know. That's what Paul was telling us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be humble before thee, so that you can lift us up, so that you can exalt us. Father, we also pray, Lord Jesus, when those spirits that are not from thee, when they move and make us to want to agitate, they agitate our flesh, or agitate our spirit, and we think it is an anointing, Lord, help us to discern. Help us to be humble enough to discern in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we also pray, Lord Jesus, help us to bridle our tongue. Bridle our tongue so that we do not speak unadvisedly with our mouth. Help us to be able to control our emotions, especially in the household between husband and wife, to control our temper so that we don't rage or we don't rouse up our reflex, not rouse up to speak evil because we are angry or wrath. Because all those things, the Holy Ghost cannot do anything. Teach us, Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to be just as you want us to be, humility, humble before the Lord. Thank you, our Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe we are going to go to break our bread right now. Yes, before that, let's have a song again. The choir, can you come? Or the praise team, can you come forward and just go ahead? We're going to do the offering first. Sing that song again before maybe that is what singing.
As the deer panted for the water.